Amen. Let's stand. Take your Bibles. Turn to Psalm chapter 2. And you may be trying to figure out what this has to do with mercy, but hopefully we'll make a connection before we're done. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth have set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Now I want us to turn to Acts chapter 4 before we sit down, because this song was used as part of a prayer in Acts chapter 4. A prayer that was prayed by men persecuted for the cause of Christ. A prayer that asked God to work, not in vengeance against the persecutors, but in love. Let's start in verse 23 of Acts chapter 4. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported to all the chief priests and elders all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together. Verse 28. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just come before You this moment and ask that You would take this time and minister Your word to our hearts. In Your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There are just certain passages, certain verses that just kind of reach up and just slap you upside the head. And as I was reading and just asking, I said, mercies. I'm supposed to preach on the tender mercies of God at a Baptist meeting. This is going to be tough. And I mean, it's easy to preach against things. Amen. And as the Lord was preparing my heart for this sermon, I said, you know, I want to preach for something. Amen. And as I was reading this verse, in actually we're going through the book of Acts in our Sunday school, it said that all these people were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy counsel determined before to be done. Now, I live in New York City. We look at things weird up there. And so you'll have to listen real hard, but I think you'll catch it before the end here. The foundation of God's tender mercies to us is the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, God has showed His mercies to us. And all of those mercies stem from the sufferings and the torture and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, this was not, the crucifixion of Christ was not a random act of unkindness. Amen? I mean, it just didn't happen by accident. The plotters and the planners were there. They had been working long and hard trying to entrap Jesus Christ, and they finally got him. And the only thing they accomplished was what God said, I want it done beforehand. I mean, they were working hard. How hard did they work? I mean, read John chapter 11. I mean, we don't have to go back. Caiaphas said, you guys don't know anything at all. It's expedient for us that one should die. Because if we let this Jesus alone, everybody's going to believe on him. And they're going to take away our place. We won't be able to meet like this anymore. Look at those beautiful robes you have. Look at the beautiful temple out there. Now, who occasioned the destruction of the temple? It was the very men in that room trying to preserve it. You remember the story? Rome, Titus sent the emissary into the city of Rome and said, we'd like you to open the gates and surrender to us so we don't have to destroy the city. Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they were having a sword fight on the temple steps over doctrine. They said, we don't have time to mess with you, Titus. You take care of it yourself. And he didn't. Not one stone was left upon another when he was done.
Yeah. That's right.
These men thought they were doing something, didn't they? I mean, how hard did they work? Now, we don't have time to go through all of this morning, but I want you just to stop and think about how the sacrifices were handled in the Old Testament. You brought the sacrifice in, and you laid your hand on the head of the sacrifice. And you confessed your sins. Do you know those men laid their hands on the head of the sacrifice? And they confessed their sins as they blasphemed him, as they smote him. You're supposed to flay the sacrifice. Romans did that, didn't they? Every stroke of the whip was God's tender mercies for you and me. You have to have wood to have a sacrifice, don't you? That was all put in order, wasn't it? And they laid the sacrifice on the wood and nailed him there. It would be no ordinary fire. It would be the fire of the sun that God created as he hung between heaven and earth. And they took a spear and they spilled his blood out on the ground around the altar. They accomplished perfectly everything that God wanted them to do. Now, before anybody takes any miscalculations, I am not a Calvinist. Amen? If it took Calvin 1,534 years to figure it out, it didn't come from this book. Amen? I mean, I'm not a Calvinist. These people volunteered for the job. He was the high priest. It was his responsibility to make sure the sacrifices got sacrificed, right? And as they were plotting and planning and doing all of these things, what did Jesus say to the disciples when they stopped trying to climb out the windows of the upper room where they were gathered when they saw him? Amen? He said, thus it behooved Christ to suffer. I like words. That word behooved is an incredible word. It means perfectly fitting. It means exactly as the circumstance demands. Jesus came to suffer. What did he tell Peter? He said, put thy sword back in thy sheath. The cup that my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? You're not going to get in the way, Peter. Stop trying to get something done. Because it's all going to be wrong. Because the tender mercies of God were fulfilled on Calvary's cross. And I'm glad it didn't end there. Amen. God's plan called for Christ to suffer so that you and I could go free. Now, the disciples understood something here. They said, Jesus had a job to do. There were a lot of people that got in the way and tried to keep Jesus from doing the job that God had called him to do. And all they got accomplished was being the unwilling fulfillment of prophecy. I don't know about you, but that's encouraging to me. And they were praying. And the disciples, as they were praying, they said, Lord, we've read Psalm 2 and we understand the Scripture. By the way, the disciples were not an ignorant group of unlearned, uneducated bumpkins. They were quoting Scripture here. In fact, well, getting ahead of ourselves, but myself a little bit here, but you know, they said the same thing all down through the Middle Ages. How these ignorant, crazy men, if you get to hold this book, it'll make you crazy. Did you know that? Might make you radical, amen. Would to God it would, amen. But they were praying because they had seen all of these people and they had just come out from the very presence of the same men who were humanly responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And they begin to realize something. Our name's on the list next. These same people are after us. Now, Lord, they didn't stop you from getting your job done with Jesus. Don't let them stop us from getting the job that Jesus gave us to do. Amen. We're praying for God's tender mercies that we can get the job done. And we look at the life of the disciples. I mean, let me read here in verse 29. It says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Lord, we've heard those before. They threatened Jesus all the same way. Remember when Jesus went down to see Lazarus, wake him up because he was sleeping, amen? Thomas said, well, let's go with Jesus. We'll die too. Man, first time I read that, I thought, man, what a crazy, uneducated guy Thomas must have been. Then you put it in the context. What were they trying to do to Jesus in the area of Jerusalem here of late? And he said, well, if Jesus is going back there, these guys are going to get him. And I'm going to stand right next to him and get got too. Okay, let's go. I mean, I kind of like Thomas now. And we look here and it says, behold their threatenings. Lord, look at them. And grant unto thy servants that we may speak with all boldness. I'm sorry, let me read this again. I got to get used to these dumb things. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Now that was their prayer. Now, a lot of people get stuck on this sign and wonders things, don't they? I mean, they're just looking for signs. And it's not only the charismaniacs and all those people. Preachers, how many times when nobody was looking, nobody was listening, we said, Lord, just show me something so I can serve you. Hey, don't say amen to that. You say, oh me, I'm teaching my people. I mean, when it hits you, you say, oh me. And when it blesses you, you say, amen. Amen. And, you know, we do that because we're so oriented to the things that we can see and the things that we can touch. I'll tell you what, New York City, there aren't very many signs and wonders. Well, lots of wonders, but there are not any. Lots of signs, too. They all point the same direction. I used to have a slide in my display when I was on deputation. It had 4 one-way signs all on the same post, all pointing in different directions. You know what the worst thing about it was? They were all right. And but you got to watch those signs and wonders thing. You see, they didn't have the book of Acts like we do. They didn't have the sign that God's given you and I. But I want you to see the signs and wonders God gave them. Look in verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Was that the sign? That just happened. Amen. That was ancillary. Where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. How do we know that? Here's the sign. And they spake the word of God with boldness. That was the sign that Jesus gave them. That was the wonder. How did these guys speak the word of God with boldness? How do we speak the word of God with boldness in the day in which we live? Hey, I'll tell you, it's easy to speak the word of God with boldness here. Among friends. Amen. But it's kind of hard to speak the word of boldness sometimes where we live. Because they're not all on our side. In fact, some of them are plotting against us. Some of them would like to destroy us. Let's keep going here. And the multitude of them that believed, verse 32, were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. A lot of people get all tied up on that one, but that's real easy. They had great unity and they had great offerings. Amen. When you get great unity, you get great giving. I mean, it's the sign that God's working. Somebody said last night, as the missions go, so goes the church. I mean, as our giving goes, that's the health. I mean, we Baptists, I've taught our people all the Baptist distinctives. Number one, we like to eat. Amen. And my people have really gotten a hold of that thing. And you can tell the health of a church when you attend a church dinner, can't you? Because if people are chintzy and just bring a little plate of this and a little plate of that, there's no fellowship, there's no love, there's no nothing. Might as well just stay at home, eat leftovers. But when you got people with a heart for what's going on, man, there's just more than you know what to do with. And this whole idea was that they were praying that God would give them the work and God gave them unity. Now, have you heard that today? Boy, I don't get a paper across my desk not talking about unity. Unity. Everybody wants unity. Well, I believe in unity. Amen. Inside local church, I believe in unity. We don't argue about things at Open Door Bible Baptist Church. And it's not because pastor says so. It's because this book says so. And if you don't like what it says, well, man, we live in a city full of churches. I mean, if you want to stand on your head, and I found out from the rabbi that sold us our building. He said, we had this meeting of these people next to us, and he said, we kept hearing during our service a in the wall. And he said, pretty soon there'd be another one. He said, I just got so curious. He said, I had to go over and find out what was going on. And it was some type of African cult. And there were enough people from this tribe in Africa that were meeting right next door to the synagogue. And when somebody in their, whatever you called it, group had a baby, they would throw spears into the wall as they chose the name for the babies, and that was what the thud was. The wall was the common wall, and they were throwing these spears into the wall and choosing the name for the babies of different families in there. I don't make it up, all right? I know you're looking at me saying, no, this is the United States of America. New York's still part of it. Some people would like to get rid of it, but you can't. All right? Well, you're stuck with us. All kinds of crazy stuff. You can find a religion that agrees with you. It's out there. But they had unity because the Holy Spirit was in them and they were agreeing with the Word of God. Verse 33, I pray for verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And with great power. Well, I tell you, sometimes with great power I can give witness to a whole lot of things that have nothing to do with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Just cut me off in traffic and find out what happens. Got to get over the flesh, amen? We give great witness to all kinds of things. But they gave great, with great power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. That's the tender mercies of God, amen? And great grace was upon them all. Whew. Now that's what happened to the apostles. Amen. They had great grace. And it wasn't just the apostles. It wasn't just for the preachers. It was everybody in the church. Now let's stop and take a moment here. The apostles had a job to do, didn't they? They didn't have a cup to drink. They had a great commission to fulfill. The mercies of God had already taken care of the cup. The sacrifice was finished. Jesus said, listen, there's no one that's given up houses and fathers and lands and husbands and wives. I mean, not husbands, sorry. Better read. But and children. He said, you're going to receive 100-fold with what? Persecutions. Now, history tells us persecution. The history of Jesus' church was written in the blood of those that believed it. Amen? I'm trying to teach a series on church history on Thursday nights in our church. And we're going through a lot of these things. And two of our young ladies are at Heartland and they said, oh, we're taking church history. It's just like it was on Thursday nights, except they make us write a 9-page paper about it. I told our people, I said, aren't you glad you're here and not there? I said, I'm not requiring 9-page papers. Amen. But I haven't found one history book written by anybody of any persuasion that agrees with what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 when he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, but wait a minute, preacher, the evidence does not do that. Well, I want to ask you whose evidence you're using. I mean, I start with the Bible and then I go to the history, and if the history doesn't agree with the Bible, we just throw away the history, amen? Let's read Romans chapter 8 for just a minute. I know you guys know this, but if I try to quote it, I'll mess it up. All right, Romans chapter 8. Let's go down. Verse 31. It says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay. Hey, you got the wrong perspective. No, that has nothing to do with it. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And that's the history of Jesus' church. Amen? I mean, where the Catholics went in, they called the Dominican monks the Lord's dogs. They did, because that's what they were, like a pack of hounds. Does anybody here know what hunting with a pack of hounds is like? I live in New York City, but I know what hunting with a pack of hounds. I've never seen it. I don't really want to. Because you take them dogs, and they tree or corner whatever you're hunting, and then you sick the dogs on them, and they tear it to pieces. That almost sounds like something Baptists would really enjoy. But that's what the that's what these monks did, the Dominicans did during the Middle Ages to our forefathers, didn't they? I mean, they went in and wiped out whole communities. I don't need to tell you guys the stories. You know them, right? The unbelievable tortures and persecutions and the inhumanity that was heaped upon these people is just absolutely incomprehensible. Luther is not on my list of favored people. John Calvin is not my hero. I don't like these guys. They're responsible for as much Baptist blood as any of the other groups are. Hey, Islam. Johnny come lately, my friend. They got some catching up to do. They're working hard on it, by the way. But they really got some catching up. I don't think they could get away with what they want to get away with. I mean, they've been trying to starve them to death in Sudan for the last 30 years. But that wasn't what was going on in the Inquisition, now was it? And we get all upset about that stuff. And yet God said, that's my tender mercies. Because they're plotting, they're planning. But I got a job to do. And I mean, when the disciples were dead, what did Paul say? He said, my hands are pure from the blood of all men. We had history telling us there were churches in India. Now, if they got that far, I wonder if they got a little farther. What do you think? I mean, people all the time, one of the greatest questions I have asked constantly is, Pastor, what about the Aborigines who have never heard the gospel for the last 3,000 years? What in the world? How could Jesus send them to hell? How could your Bible be true? I said, number one, you and I, we don't know history. We just don't know. Number two, you got to be responsible for what you have. Don't worry about what they didn't have. And number three, if I have to trust the character of the historians and the politicians and the gaysayers and naysayers as compared to trusting the character of God with something I can't know, I'll choose God. Amen. I mean, I'll just trust Him. And if He stopped to pick up Rahab the harlot at the city of Jericho, He got the whole city of the Gibeonites. I think He'll do what needs to be done for the Aborigines. Amen. And wherever they wiped out those believers in Christ, guess what? They just kept coming back. Because God, mercy is going to keep us going. Amen? He said that the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against it. Now, I'll try not to preach too long. But I just want to get a little application and then quit. I don't know about you, but the plotters and the planners, they bother me. In fact, I'd like to do something about it. Amen? But it wouldn't be what God wanted done. In fact, I've told this story some places before, but on September 12th, the year 2001, they were burning an American flag four blocks from our church, playing tapes of the planes hitting the Twin Towers and cheering. One of the neighbor ladies came by and said, "You won't believe what they're doing on Steinway Street up at the Egyptian Cafe." And she told me, being the brave hearted pastor I am, I locked myself in my office. You say, why did you do that? Well, because if I fell to the temptation to go up there, I wouldn't be standing before you today, and Jesus wouldn't have been honored, and I'd have gave great witness to something, but it wouldn't have been the mercies of God. And all that would have happened was to bring shame upon the name we try to uphold. I mean, that lock works both ways, preachers. It really does. Because God is a God of tender mercy. He never told the disciples to go out and stop the plotters. I mean, this brainless, what is his name? He needs something. He needs a Dow, amen. But trying to take under God out of our pledge and all of these things. If he wants to build a godless nation, I think we could take up an offering and send him somewhere where he could do it. Amen? I mean, that's just the kind of person I am. And see, in New York City, you don't get in trouble for saying it. Because they know you're either stark raving mad and they don't want to touch you. Or you know something they don't and they don't want to touch you either. Amen? A lot of safety in being nuts. But the last time I checked, the Great Commission is still in effect. Amen? I mean, there's still a job to be done. And the sacrifice was finished. So we can enjoy the mercies of God through the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And we can look at the disciples. I think there's a verse in Hebrews that says, "For we are compassed about with what? So great a cloud of witnesses." It says, "Let us consider him," talking about Jesus. We've not yet resisted unto blood. I wanted to, but God said no. He said, "That's not my way of doing things, because I'm a merciful God." Said, "These people are just part of my plan." I get really upset when my people come to me and they say, "Pastor, you don't know this beautiful young man on the television. He's just such a blessing to my soul. Joel Osteen." I said, "I never heard of him." I said, "But Ann, I can probably tell you he's rotten." Came to the next fellowship meeting, I just found out how rotten he was. Somebody had said, "You don't know this new guy." I said, okay, now I'm going to find out about him. And I don't have to watch it either, amen? How much planning went into the 9/11 attacks? We smelled the smoke in our church building. Opened the window. I can still... Whenever I see those pictures, I still feel the tightness in my throat. And I can still smell that smell. And those plotters and those planners, man, they get me. Oh, I want to go do something. It was only my wife kept me from signing up for the Marine Corps and the Marine Corps regulations. But I thought I could. She said, look in the mirror. Said, you won't do them any good. And they won't take you even if you tried. So I stayed home. Amen. But we've got a job to do. And that's being witnesses. I mean, remember the signs the apostles had? They spoke the word of God with great boldness. They had unity. They gave great power to the witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not just how much they could hate sin. Hey, if you give great power to the witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're given great witness to hating sin. You know, the most offensive thing I can do to if I want to get the homosexual community riled up, just pack up my kids and go on parade down the sidewalk. He's going to overpopulate the earth. No. Don't think we're going to get that accomplished. Somebody said, are you having any more? Well, we got this far by faith. We're going to try to finish it. Amen. We've only got a few years left. Praise God for that biological time clock. Amen. But it's God's mercy that took the vehement hatred of the chief priests, Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, Pilate, and made them servants of Almighty God. It was the mercy of God that took the Lord's dogs, and by the way, we know which Lord they belong to, amen, and used them to move His church all over the known world. And we got a job to do. I think of a lady in our church. She was the chairman of the deacon board at the Methodist church before she came over to our church. In fact, if the pastor was late to the business meeting, he didn't even get a chance to open in prayer because Ann started the business meetings all on time. And there was a couple of times he didn't show up and the church said, Ann, do you want to preach today? And she preached. And she was in her late 60s when she came to our church for the first time. And she got saved. Amen. And then she got baptized the Baptist way. Amen. And she even calls me pastor. One day she said, Pastor, sit down. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I just want to tell you, I got my salvation all straightened out. I said, amen. I said, now we got to talk about baptism. She says, when I get healed from my cancer surgery, she says, I'll get baptized. God's still working. Amen. Just one more story. We had a guy named Bob Neblett. Bob was a World War II veteran. Sailed on the merchant marine ships, the Liberty ships we've all heard about. He sailed those things all over the seven seas. Bob's testimony was, Pastor, you have no idea how wicked a man I was. I said, Bob, I don't need to know because God's mercies took care of that. Amen. He says, I don't know why God waited until I was 75 years old for me to hear the gospel. I said, because God in His mercy knew that you'd be ready at 75 years old. That's why you're still alive. That's why you're not in hell right now. And just to give you a little idea, his son just got out of prison. 26 years in the federal penitentiary. That was Bob's son. Bob has his family all on drugs. I mean, everybody is gone. He had a sister that was sending him tracts from England. And somebody gave him a tract from our church and he came by. And he trusted the Lord. And he got baptized and he's a member of our church. And he just says, I want to serve the Lord with the last few years I got. Hey, that's God's mercy. Amen. But I get all upset about these guys taking Baptist off their name and wanting to sell everything down the road. And I get so upset about that. And then I read Acts chapter 4. Mess up a lot of upsetness, doesn't it? Do you preach like that in New York City? Oh, yeah. I always tell them, I know what I said wrong, but it gets you to listen a little better. Amen. It says, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. I'm praying, God, keep me from messing with the things I don't need to mess with. Let me get out there. And Lord, I want to give great power to the witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want that unity and I want that grace. Man, that's the thing I want most of all. But you don't get that until you get the other three. Amen. I mean, it starts when you start speaking the Word of God with boldness. Then you have something to rally around. You get all close up together and get that unity. And then God provides your needs. And I told our people, I said, you need to pray for your preacher. You want some good preaching. I said, you need to pray that God will allow me to give great power to the witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, then, when you get a real preacher, I said, we'll all have great grace and we'll have the time of our lives because His tender mercies, they're over all His works. Amen. Amen. Yeah.